Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel of St. Matthew. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
What is a spiritual exercises retreat? Beginning on a Thursday at 4:30 p.m. through Sunday at 1:30 p.m., you can find out by experiencing His voice in prayer as you pray with Scripture, according to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. The place for these spiritual exercises retreats is Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center, 1200 Lantana, in the shadow of the Blue Dome, near Interstate 37 and North Padre Island Drive. Men's and women's retreats alternate each month. To find a weekend date that fits your schedule, visit deepprayer.org or call 361-289-9095.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very well, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And greetings to everyone out there.
Yes. Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. Matthew, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down and did him homage and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants, who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then, in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives your brother from his heart." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, as I was preparing for today's discussion, I was looking at the readings, the two readings before the gospel, and of course all the readings are focusing on forgiveness and mercy. And Peter's question to Jesus is, just how far should forgiveness extend?
Well, I think that's all our questions in terms of many, many things. How far do I have to go? And of course, as in all things that are from Jesus, God's ways are not our ways, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. So God's forgiveness is not really the way we forgive, and we have to learn that forgiveness over time. But certainly Jesus brings these gospel readings to us about forgiveness to teach us the depth and the meaning of forgiveness. We can also easily remember the parable of the prodigal son who returns to his father and the attitudes that are there as well. But I think this question of how far do I have to go, how many times do I have to forgive, it's really not the right question. Because it's obviously what he asked, but right. the real question is, how human do I want to be? How real do I want to become? Many of us, as human beings, we think, and we hear it all the time, it is what it is, I am who I am, as though we're in a static mode. If we're created in God's image and likeness, then we're not who we are totally yet. In fact, we never will be until we see God face to face. So life is a journey. And forgiveness is at the very heart of the journey. Mercy is at the very heart of what it means to be a human being. To share in God's mercy is to learn how to be human, to, in a sense, respond to God's mercy for us with mercy is learning to be human. So if we put it more concretely in this present case, when one forgives as the debtor, the first debtor, came before his master, as he was forgiven, I mean, both people, the one who forgives and the one who's forgiven, really share in the fruits of forgiveness. Because when one forgives another person, and that's the question about forgiveness, when one forgives another, they free themselves. They allow themselves to be free. We always think that holding a grudge, seeking revenge, getting even, that's human. That's not human. That's not who we really are. And that's not freedom, because the other person then has power over me. Right. So to forgive is to release that. Now, that does not excuse bad behavior. It does not condone sinful behavior. But it does forgive. And that's who God is and who he wants us to be. So the one who forgives is free. The one who is forgiven has the opportunity to change, has the opportunity to grow as a result of that act of forgiveness, that powerful act that reaches into the depth of his person. Unfortunately, in this case, the man did not learn. And he did not grow. He stayed in his same static human existence as he was before. We don't know why he didn't pay the debt back, but obviously there was something in him that is very static as a human being, and he wasn't able to change his ways, to come to a fuller life, a much richer life, by forgiving his fellow debtor. So it's forgiveness is one of these things that we can't think of in just human terminology. It's not just a, that's okay, honey. How many times have we heard that as children or as spouses? It's okay, honey. It's much deeper than that. It goes to the core of the human person. To be able to see the other person in the light of me being forgiven as well. We say it in the Our Father all the time, forgive us our sins as we forgive those. It's really, forgiveness is at, as I've said already, at the heart and the core, but it's also the mode through which we really grow as human beings, because we discover ourselves as children of God, created in God's image, when we forgive, when we build up the walls inside of us, when we create barriers between us and other people, we become static. We entrench ourselves in an ideology, we entrench ourselves in a mentality, and we wall ourselves into a self-prison. We imprison ourselves within ourselves, within our own ideologies, within our own ideas, because we cannot forgive from the heart.
And I think it gives us an opportunity, as you say, when we are forgiven, to grow, and then when we have an opportunity to forgive somebody else, to not be that static or think, oh, I'm not going to do that, to remember how we were forgiven at one point, whether it be a week ago, a month ago, years ago.
Right. And I think, well, and yes, absolutely. And one other thing I wanted to add to all of this is really it's our responsibility as Christians. If we belong to Christ, it is our duty to forgive.
Right.
As your Heavenly Father has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And for another reason as well, it is our duty to assist others to salvation. We many times think of forgiveness on a human level, but we needed to be forgiven in order to share an eternal life. We have to be forgiven and receive that forgiveness, accept that forgiveness, practice that forgiveness in order to receive eternity, to live with God who is forgiveness forever. I've always thought of, especially in my own difficulty sometimes to forgive, but a little story, which is kind of like a little fable, you might say, mm-hmm. of a mother hen walking along a wall with a steep side that falls off to the side, and she has some little chicks following her, and one of them falls, and the fable goes that the other, actually it was a fable, but it was actually a reality that someone saw and created this understanding of what happened there, is that the mother hen went down with the others. So she led the others with her to the little chick that had fallen in order to lead the little chick back up with the others. What does that say? It says that in terms of God forgiving us, that as we sinned, we know that the gospel, or St. Paul says, it's not that we who love God, but he loved us first, that he came to us in the incarnation. Jesus came to us as God, though we were sinners. So he came down to our level, not to leave us there, but to raise us up back to his level. That's our responsibility as Christians, is to descend, you might say, to the level of others to forgive. Not to say, as I said earlier, that we condone behavior or that you shouldn't have, you know, but to lead them up. Sometimes when we think of forgiveness, we need to think that if I do forgive, perhaps that person can come to a new life themselves. That's why when we see so much hatred and vengeance on all levels, but even against those who have committed crimes against others, sure, they're paying their debt, is in the gospel today. There was a debt that had to be paid. And, you know, people that are incarcerated, for example, or others, they need to pay that debt. But it is our responsibility to walk with them, accompany them, stand with them, forgive them, so that they too can share in the life that we're all destined to have as God's children.
Well, I also saw in one of my readings, it says, forgiveness according to Jesus has no bounds.
Right. Yes, absolutely, because we don't want to leave people where they are. He didn't want to leave us in our sins. He wanted to bring us. And so he knew no bounds when he left, paradise, you might say, God's life. He humbled himself, descended to our level to bring us to his level.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation on forgiveness. Please stay with us.
The faithful from all parishes in the diocese are invited to Our Lady of the Rosary Catholic Church, 1123 Main Drive, for their annual Rosary Fest. This consists of 3 days of preparation, followed by the 2017 Rosary Fest on Friday, October 6th. October 3rd through 5th, the mission program will begin at 5:30 p.m. with the Rosary and Mass, followed by a talk with Father Pete Elizardo. Father James Stembler, Vicar General of the Diocese of Corpus Christi, will preside at the October 6th Mass, to be followed by refreshments. To get there, take exit 7, the Toloso Suntide exit off I-37, and head toward Leopard. Turn right, and then take a quick left onto Main Drive. To hear more about it, or if you get lost on your way, call 241-2004.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, during the break, you and I were talking about this gospel in our conversation, and you had mentioned that forgiveness and mercy are an art. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yes, I would say it's the art of God.
Right.
So it's really knowing God, and I could mention that in a minute, but really knowing God so we know what forgiveness really is. Let me contrast the Christian life with the life that we see around us today in society. The Christian life really should be based on the prayer of Jesus, Father, may they all be one. We sometimes forget that as a goal for the Christian life, that we live in such a way that we build unity, we build communion, we build relationship. That's our responsibility. That's not just a visualize world peace. It's more than visualize world unity. And that's taken on a bad connotation for people. But that's not what Jesus meant, is just to be world powers. But we have interwoven in our spiritual DNA the seed of God's life inside of us called our soul. So we're all created in the image and likeness of God. And so Jesus brought that to our to the final prayer that he offered to the Father. Father, may they be one. May they learn to live together as brothers and sisters. We live in a society now that has become totally violent because you are the way you are. I don't need you. I want to eliminate you or your race off the face of with genocide, with certain terrible religious wars that are going on, simply because a person is different than I am. Instead of saying, well, what does God want of us? He wants us to, first of all, understand each other, forgive one another, and start talking to one another, which is what love is. Love's not just a feeling, some kind of a passing sentiment, but it is a strong force that creates a relationship and a bond between and among peoples. So it's something that has to be learned because we listen. We are so influenced by the media, the social media around us, by people's talk, by ideologies, that we convince ourselves of something else. It's time that we as Christians learn the art of silence and the art of humility. So I think the first step in forgiveness is putting aside our pride. I can't forgive, I won't forgive, I will not talk to that person, I will not reach out to that person, I will be against that person, I will be against that class of people. These are things that it's from the Psalm, you know, it's 95, harden not your hearts as at Meribah. We harden our hearts and make judgments, and you don't even know the person. You've never met that class of people or that race of people. You just know that everybody else is against them, so I have to join in. Humility. Right. We need to put aside our pride. And I want to say that very strongly out there. Put your pride aside. The other is that we learn to forgive ourselves. I think sometimes we're caught up in our own mess, if you want to put it that way, with our own problems, begin to throw rocks and judging other people. We forget that we have to be forgiven too. And that's where humility really lies, in the fact that I'm willing to come before God and say, no, I've sinned first. I'm made a mess of my life, or I've whatever, that I want to be forgiven. I want to be forgiven so that I can forgive. People don't forgive others because they've not forgiven themselves, or they've never allowed God to forgive them, reach into their lives. So it's just a vicious cycle that goes on. So I think, again, starting off with putting aside our pride, humbling ourselves before God and others, and forgiving ourselves. The third thing I would say is union with God. When's the last time you just knelt or sat or stood in front of God or a picture of Jesus or in a church in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist, and say, Lord, take my life, take my eyes, take my mind. It's all yours. I give it to you. To be one with God is then to have the wisdom and the insight to see others differently. Jesus said, whatever you do, the least you've done to me. So to be able to see through the lens of God, the lens of God's word, to see Jesus in another person, which again is an art, which you have to over and over say, I know this is, with faith, I mean, this is where faith comes in. Right. With no faith, it's hard, it's even more difficult to come to these, to practice this, but to have union with God is to be able to say, if you love me, then you love him or her. You love that group of people as much as you love me. We cannot put, as in the gospel today, we cannot put a fence around who's loved and who's not. How often do I have to? Right. If we really understand God, if we're in union with God, if we are, and that means just being simply in front of God and to think, what does God think of those people? Not their actions, not their wrongdoings, not their sins or my sins. If I think God only sees my sins, I'm in deep trouble. You know, right. If God only sees my small mentality or my way of seeing, I'm in trouble. But when I think of God in my life, it's you love me and you gave me to myself as a gift. And how immense is that gift, and how much possibility is in our lives that we don't even allow to be unleashed. Right. And forgiveness and mercy unleashes the power of God that's inside of us. It breaks through the barriers, breaks through the walls and the fences that we create to keep us separated from God, separated in ourselves, and separated, obviously, from others.
Well, I think to not forgive, it's such a heavy burden when you carry it around.
It is. It is.
You know, Bishop, there's something I've been wanting to ask you, and I've been thinking about this since we had the Year of Mercy, and of course, every Lent I think about this. You know, I think sometimes there will be an occasion when you feel that you've been treated unjustly or there's been bad behavior and it's hurt you personally, and the person who did that, you may not be aware that it happened, or they were clueless, or... So when it comes to forgiveness, can you do it in your heart and not do it face-to-face with the person so that you can just get rid of that burden and be more open-minded towards that person, even though they may not know that they hurt you?
Absolutely you can, but it's not going to go any further than that. That's why we don't go to confession to ourselves in a quiet part of the room, because we have to go to someone else.
Right.
Whether it is that person, but I mean in confession of the sacrament, is to verbalize it, to say it. There's a part of the gospel, and again, you know, we're cafeteria people. We take what we like and we just ignore what we don't like. But there is a part of the gospel where Jesus speaks of fraternal correction. But you can only fraternally correct someone, which is that person who did something that they don't even know they did, but you're hurt by it. That goes into the area of fraternal correction. But you can't do fraternal correction unless you have a relationship with that person. If I walked up to you on the street and say, you crossed the street and almost caused me to get hit by that car, and I'm mad at you, well, of course, you're going to get mad at me for being, you know. So we have no relationship except the problem.
Right.
So the first thing to do in coming to that is to build the relationship. To forgive them, first of all, within yourself, but then also not throw it up in their face, but find the moment to say, can I speak to you? And maybe you don't know it, but I think we need to have a relationship. I lived with a community for about 4 years, and we practiced fraternal correction several times. Mm-hmm. And I did things that I didn't know that I did. One of them, it was an international community, and they told me I was too American. Of course, I did ask for clarification on that,
right.
Which meant I was too practical. I kind of took over. You know, I guess we think we're the world power and only we can survive in the long run. And I guess in a small community of 5 priests, I kind of projected that. Mm-hmm. Without me, you're nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you don't realize how your own culture affects you. And especially in a setting where others are different, you don't realize how you operate out of those things. But they were able to tell me that. And of course, I asked for clarification, and they told me how it came across. So I pulled back. The next time we had it, they said, I'm not giving my gifts enough to the community. And I'm going, and I laughed with them. I said, would you make up your mind? Which do you want? We all laughed. I mean, right. But there was a rapport there, and it strengthened the relationship, I think. So if you just put it into a family, if a family sat down every 2 months and just did, out of charity, it's not to criticize people. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes when we want to correct them, it's to tell them they're wrong.
Right.
To do true fraternal correction is, here's how you could improve to be a better person, from my point of view, without saying, because you hurt me. Well, where did you see that? Well, you know, one day, I know you didn't mean it, but one day you said this, and, you know, so I would just say, you know, to move forward, this would be helpful to you. I'm trying to help you, as the mother chick went with the others to save the other. I just want to help you. But sometimes our correcting others, and whether that's on a world scale or just person to person, we want to get back at them and make ourselves justified. Fraternal correction is simply saying, I want to help you because I love you. I'm called to love everyone. And then also point out, the other second part of that is to point out something good. Fraternal correction is not all negatives. Right. It's also seeing what's good in a person. And so I think that would be a wonderful practice in families, in communities, mm-hmm. to be able to have the freedom, because there's forgiveness, to do that and to build up the community, to build up unity among peoples.
That's wonderful. And that can be used in the workplace quite a bit.
In the UN and everywhere else.
Oh, everywhere. Wonderful.
The U.S. picture. Congress, et cetera.
Fraternal correction. Right. Wonderful. Thank you, Bishop. If you could just end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Look upon us, O God, creator and ruler of all things, and that we may feel the working of your mercy, grant that we may serve you with all our hearts. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of the day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.